Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samech Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Levi family in memory of Aharon ben Rachel. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. This being his 30th day since his passing, the Shloshim, and therefore it has added significance that we learn the Elu Nishmato. Furthermore, today's daf is being studied the Elu Nishmat of Avraham ben Esther. We are actually on the last line on Daf Samich Amud Bed, where the Gemara quotes a statement from our Mishnah. Velo biyachid bizman she'en beraglo makkah. The Mishnah said that a person is not allowed to go out on Shabbat wearing one shoe if he doesn't have a wound on his foot. If he has a wound on his foot, then he can wear one shoe. The Gemara will discuss which shoe are you putting the which foot are you putting the shoe on. But it's clear from the Mishnah that if your 2 feet are healthy, you can't wear one shoe. Rashi in the Mishnah explained for us 2 reasons. Let's review the reasons. Number one, marit ayin issue. The concern is that people might think you're carrying the other shoe on the arm, and that's asur on Shabbat, obviously. Second logic is people might make fun of him. And it's funny that he's walking around in the street with one shoe, and therefore he might get embarrassed, and as a result he'll take off the other shoe just not to stand out, and therefore he might carry it again for Amot in the Shut Rabim. So the Gemara says, on top of Samech Alef Amud Rishon, Hayesh Beraglo Makkah, which is we can make a diyuk from the Mishnah, we can make an implication from the Mishnah. Hayesh Beraglo Makkah, if he has, let's say, a Makkah, a wound on his leg, on his foot, Nafik Be'u, he'll be allowed to, Nafik, period. He's able to go out. Rashi, Hayesh Beraglo Makkah, Ika Lemedak, we can make a diyuk, Tenafik Biyahid, Behashta Ba'et Talmudah, the Gemara is going to ask, Behei Beraglav Nafik, with which foot does he put the shoe on? So the Gemara says, Behei Minayu Nafik, Amaravuna, Be'ota Shiyesh Ba Makkah. Interesting. Ravuna says, you put the shoe on the foot that has the Makkah. Why would you put the shoe on the foot that has the Makkah? So the Gemara says, Alma, implying, Kasabar sandal lishum sar avid. Must be that you put the sandal on the foot in order to alleviate the pain. Which means, since he can't walk on the bare floor, because his foot has a Makkah, he doesn't want to step on the pebbles and on the stones. So therefore, on the foot that has the Makkah, he puts protection on it. He puts the sandal. Rashi says, sandal l'shem sa'ar avid, which literally means the shoe is made for, its purpose is to alleviate his pain. Shelo yinagif, so he does not get damaged, b'tedot ha-derachim, with the different impediments that are on the road. V'yitzta'ir, hilkach, kishiro'in otot soleya. Now the people are going to see him limping. Because that's the only way they're going to know he has a makkah on his leg, because he's covering that leg. So what's going to give them the tip off that he's in, that he has a makkah on his leg? His limp. So they're not going to suspect him that he's carrying the other shoe under his arm, because they know he's wearing the shoe, because must be the limp means he has pain, and that's why he's putting the shoe on. So the gezerah of Marit Ayim does not apply. Ela makirim bo lefi ma'asav sheparsotav kashot. Ve'no mitzta'ir biyetidot ha-derachim. Ve'lo no'alo ela mishum makkah. V'dayo bezeh lebado. Now according to the other explanation, they're not going to make fun of him either. Which is according to the other explanation, the Gezerah was that people can make fun of him. Now if they understand that he has a makkah on his foot, they're not going to say anything. So that's the first approach in the Gemara. He has a shoe, he's wearing it on the makkah foot, and the gezerot are not applicable. It seems the other healthy foot can step on the ground. We're not talking about a sensitive guy over here. It's just that his foot is makkah, so he can't walk on the ground, even on an area where normally barefoot you'd be able to walk. People can walk barefoot. If the person's foot is healthy, he can walk into certain areas over there. But if a person has a bakan, his foot, it's going to be extra sensitive. So therefore he's covering the foot. So that's why we're not concerned about these gizrot. Comes the Gemara and says,
he only has one shoe.
He doesn't need another shoe. Maybe he would normally walk barefoot in this spot over here. It's just that, since he has a makan on his foot, so he got to place it. That's the way this version is learning. B'haya bar Rav Amar, Haya, the son of Rav, said, Be'ota she'en ba makan. Says, no, where are you putting the shoe? We would think, in a normal way. Right, you're going to put it on the foot that doesn't have the makan. Alma, according to this opinion, kasabal shum ta'anuk abid, must be that the shoe's purpose is comfort, and therefore on the foot that feels good. Okay, so he wants to have comfort, he'll put the shoe on. On the one that has the makkah, he can't put a shoe on it. So therefore, the Gemara says vizu shiyesh ba makkah, and the foot that has the makkah on it, makata mochaha aleha. The makkah is going to prove to everybody exactly why he doesn't have a shoe on. And therefore, they're not going to suspect him for carrying the shoe, nor they're going to suspect him for not going to make fun of him, so to speak. And therefore, there is no concern. So we have a mahloket amongst the hachamim. What shoe does he place it on? Which really the mahloket is based on, what's the purpose of the shoe? Either to alleviate his pain, or, which the first rabbi learns is to alleviate his pain. That's why he puts it on the makafa. The other rabbi says, no, it's the shem ta'anug. Let's just see Rashi. Lishum ta'anug abid. Adam istinis. We're talking about, obviously, a finicky guy. Where normal guys can walk barefoot. It's not a problem. But this guy was a finicky guy that he can't walk barefoot. So therefore, verachu makirin mituch ma'asav shina'al na'alu ahachu istinis. And they see that the guy's istinis, because normally guys don't even wear any shoes. This guy's putting on one shoe. They see the other foot that has a makkah. They say, well, he's not putting it on that foot, because obviously he can't get a shoe on that foot. And therefore, they're not going to bother him. They understand that the only reason why he doesn't have a shoe on the other foot is because the makkah is refraining him from doing that. And they're not going to suspect him. And they're not going to make fun of him as well. Comes Gemara and says, Ve'af Rabbi Yohanan Sabar la lehad Ravuna. The Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Yohanan also holds like Ravuna. What is the opinion of Ravuna? Ravuna was the opinion that you put it on the foot that has the makkah. Where do you know this from Rabbi Yohanan? The Amar le Rabbi Yohanan le Rav Shaman bar Abba. Story. Rabbi Yohanan told Rav Shaman bar Abba, Hav li misanai. He said, bring me my shoes. Yahav le diyamin. So he brought for him his right shoe. Amar le. So Rabbi Yohanan told him, Asito makkah. What? You made my right foot like it has a makkah on it? That's why you brought me my right shoe? What is the proof over here? So let's read Rashi. Asito makkah, very important Rashi. The Rabbi Yohanan sfira le da no'el sandalim, because Rabbi Yohanan holds that when one puts on his shoes, no'el shel simol tehila. He holds that normally you're supposed to put on the left shoe first. That's Rabbi Yohanan's opinion. Rabbi Yohanan says left shoe first. V'har kach shel yamin, and then you put on the right. V'kasakat atach, and at this point the Gemara is saying, v'hachi kamar li. This is what Rabbi Yohanan said. Imken shen ol zeh, which means you give me the right shoe, that means we passed on the left already. So all you give me really is to wear one shoe. So you made me like a guy that has a makkah. A guy that has a makkah, who does he? Where does he put the shoe on? Under makkah foot, which means he's telling me, you're giving me the shoe. What? You made my foot that has a makkah? So the Gemara's understanding it to mean, as he's saying, that you made the foot that I'm putting this shoe on like a makkah foot. And that's Rabbi Huna's opinion. Rabbi Huna was the opinion that where do you put the one shoe on? The makkah foot. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma kihaya barav svirale. You have no proof from his answer. Maybe he's holding like the other rabbi that says you put it on the healthy foot. V'achi ka'amar. And this is what he meant to say. Asita shel semol makkah. Which means you made my other foot a makkah, and this foot is the healthy foot. That's why I'm going to put it on this. Which means Rabbi Yohanan didn't discuss which foot he was talking about. He just said, you made my foot like it has a makkah on it. So the Gemara had two options to learn. Either he's going like Rav Huna, that you put the shoe on the makkah foot. And what was the Rabbi Yohanan saying? The rabbi wrote him one shoe. Now Rabbi Yochanan
held you put left shoe on first. So therefore if he's bringing him his right shoe, that means he's only wearing one shoe. That's how we're thinking now, right? Therefore he's not wearing the other shoe, right? So therefore he said, oh, you made my foot that has a makah?
So the Gemara implied the foot that he's talking about, the right foot that he's going to put it on. So therefore you see why he holds like Navuna, that you put the shoe on the makah foot. The Gemara has no proof. All he said is you made my foot that has a makah, meaning I'm going to put the shoe on the right, and you made it like I'm the guy that has a makah on his left foot.
But I bring me my shoes.
No, but he brought him one shoe. So that's what he responded to him. He told me, you made me like a guy with a makah? What are you doing to me over here bringing my right shoe? So what did he mean you're making me like a guy that has a makah? He didn't have a makah. But from his answer, it sounds like you can go like either opinion. The Gemara thought he meant to say, well, you're making me like a guy that has a makah, that you give me the right shoe to put on the right foot with the makah and not my left shoe, because he held you put your left shoe on first. You passed on the left shoe. What are you making me like a guy with a makah? Gemara says, no. Could be he was telling him, what, you made my other foot like I'm a guy with a makah? Because you're giving me my right shoe and you're not going to give me a left shoe, and therefore I'm going to be like a guy that has a makah on his left foot?
No proof.
So there was really no proof. That's what the Gemara wants to say. So comes the Gemara and says, again, Rabbi Yochanan did not have a makah. That's obvious. He's saying it like, you know, what are you doing over here? You're making me like a guy that has a makah. So the Gemara just said it could have been on the right foot or the left foot. If we really have no proof. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'azda Rabbi Yochanan letame. Rabbi Yochanan's following his reasoning. Damar Rabbi Yochanan kitfilin kach min alin. Just like tefilin, that is the law of shoes. Ma tefilin besmol. Just like tefilin, you put on your left hand, because the pasuk says v'ayah leot al yadecha. The way the Torah writes the word yadecha is yud dalet chaf he, which is really an extra letter. Normally the word Yadecha would be spelled Yud Dalet Chaf Sofit. So from the extra word, extra hair, the rabbis learn Yad Keha, that you place the tefillin on the weaker hand. Normally the weaker hand would be the left hand. So it's just like the tefillin is placed on the left hand. Af min alin bismol. So too, shoes you put on the left. Now, we don't really know a connection between shoes and tefillin, but what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, since we see that the Torah does give a precedence to the left by tefillin, so therefore we can say what? There's also a precedence, let's say, by shoes. Let's read Rashi. Rashi just says, right, Ve'azda Rabbi Yochanan, De'amar, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, Asita Makah, which means he said when he got his right shoe, he said, you made me like a guy with a makah, implying that it's as if I'm only wearing one shoe. Why? Because you passed on the left shoe already. Mashba, that really he normally would put on his left shoe first. Because if he got his left shoe first, he wouldn't have said anything. The fact that he gave him his right shoe, he said, what? The left shoe you passed on? Therefore, what? You make me like a guy, like a makah that only walks around with one shoe? So that implies what? That he holds what? That you put on the left. Meti Be'er Gemara has a question. Kishihu no'el, no'el shel yamin, ve'arkach no'el shel simol. We have a Beferush Braita. The Braita says what? When he puts on his shoes, which shoe do you put on first? Your right. And then you put on the left. So what are you talking, Rabbi Yochanan? You can't argue on a Braita. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hashta detanya hache. Now that already we have a Braita like this that says right, left. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan hache. But we got Rabbi Yochanan that says left, right. So you know what Rabbi Yosef said? Da'avad hache avad, u'da'avad hache avad. Do whatever you want. A guy that does right, left, he's got the Braita to rely on. A guy that does left, right, he's got the Yochanan to rely on. Listen, we got two opinions over here. So,
why we do shoelaces?
Wait, we'll see. So comes the Tosafot, on the top Tosafot. Da'avad hache avad, pirush. The Baraita lo peliga Rabbi Yochanan, but not Rabbi Yochanan a Baraita. Meaning, we're going to say it's not a machloket. Because you're asking a question, could Rabbi Yochanan argue on a Baraita? No, what Rabbi Yosef was saying, right, that was Rabbi Yosef that was saying this. What he was saying was, they're not arguing. How is that possible? Rachi pirusho. Kitfilin. Right, Rabbi Yochanan said, shoes follow the law of tefilin.
Afalgad diyamin hashuva le'anyan bohen yad ubohen regel v'chen le'anyan halitza. Even though we do find the Torah does give priority to the right. For example, in the sprinkling on the animals, let's say they have to sprinkle on the right side of the animal, the right toe of the animal, or for example, halitza is done with the right foot, which means we do see there's a priority to the right. Yachol v'ne'ol shel semol tehila, which means the Yohanan's chidush is, we do see, however, that the Torah does give a priority to the left. By tefillin, therefore, by shoes, if you want to go like the left, we found a precedence. Ubraita nami kamashwan. You know what the Braita is saying? Tafagav the small hashuval tefillin yachol v'ne'ol shel yamin tehila. The Braita is saying, even though we find by tefillin the precedence is the left, but you know what? You could do right if you want, because we found precedence to the right. So therefore, it's really, they're not arguing with each other. Because in the Torah, we found sometimes the right is hashuv, and sometimes the left is hashuv. So you know what Rabbi Hanan was coming along to say? You know what? You could put left right on tefillin. Why? I'm sorry, on shoes. You know why? Because we found by tefillin. What do we find by tefillin? Torah gives priority to the left. The Braita says, granted, we agree with that, but you know what? You can't argue with the fact that Torah does give priority also to the right in other mitzvot. You know what? You can do right, left. So really, they weren't arguing. They were just saying, you have a precedence from there, you have a precedence from there, so therefore, do whatever you want. Ah, based on this, just for that's a very strong question. The im tomar, im ken amai hikpid Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shaman shenatan lo shel yamin, kevan sheyachol lenol eze sheyiritze tehila. So then the question is, if Rabbi Yochanan agrees you can do whatever you want, so then why do you get angry at the guy, the rabbi that brought him his left, he brought him his right shoe? He said, oh, you made me only wear one shoe today. What do you mean? You agree that you can do whatever you want. So put the right one up, put on the left one. What's the problem with Rabbi Yochanan? Why all of a sudden, because he brought him his right shoe, does he become a guy that's only going to wear one shoe? Rabbi Yochanan, you agree you can do whatever you want. You just said, you can do left, right. And the brightness said you can do right, left. So what are you getting all upset? So it comes again when I Tosfot says, "When Eliri, the Achi Pirusho, the Avad Hache Avad, Mishirotzel LeHavev Shel Small Mishum Mitzvat Tefillin Al Shut Piyado, UMishirotzel LeHavev Shel Yamin Yoter Mishum Hashut Shel Yamin Al Shut Piyado." The Rabbi Yochanan Hayad Darko LeHavev Kol Shaa Shel Small Yoter, which means Rabbi Yochanan made a decision. He's a left-right. And that's the way he did it. Therefore, he's not changing. And therefore, Rav Shaman bar Abba that gave him his right shoe, he didn't know that he's a left-right. He gave his right shoe thinking he's following right-left. Rabbi Yochanan said, what? You made me a one-shoe guy? That way I'm only wearing one shoe, like a guy that has a makkah? He was saying that he knew he could wear the right shoe. But the point is, since he committed already, so to speak, he was always doing left-right. So therefore, he wanted to continue his way. Comes the Gemara and says, Amale Abaye. Abaye says, Dilma Rabbi Yochanan Hamatnita lo avasham yale. Says, what are you talking about? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard of this braita. This braita said what? Right, left. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard of the braita. The iava shamiale, and maybe if he heard it, loava hadarbe, which means, and maybe if he heard it, haba hadarbe, he would have retracted. The iname shamiale, or if he would have heard it, vekasamar en lacha kota mishnah, maybe he would have said lacha doesn't follow the blaita. What is Abaye trying to do over here? Abaye is saying like this: how could you tell me we're going to follow both opinions? You want to go like Rabbi Yochanan, you want to go like the Braita. He says, hold it. Who said that Rabbi Yochanan knew this Braita? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't know the Braita, but if he would have known it, he would have retracted from his statement. So how could you tell me if you want to follow Rabbi Yochanan, you could follow Rabbi Yochanan? Or maybe I could tell you the other way. Maybe if he would know the Braita, he would have said, we don't go with it. And maybe he has his own source. So how could you say that we go like the Braita? Which means, how could you tell me we go like both opinions? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't know the Braita. And if he didn't know the Braita, maybe he would have agreed. If he would have found out about it, he would have retracted. So how could you even give me an option to say left-right? Or maybe, you know what?
Maybe if Rabbi Yochanan would have heard the Braita, would have said, I like the Braita. So therefore, maybe, how could you give an option to go like the Braita? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would stick to his opinion because he's relying on a different source. So how could you tell me, Rabbi Yosef, do whatever you want? Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak said, Yereshamayim Yotzei Yedesh Nehem, Shtehen. A God-fearing person should try to fulfill both opinions. How do you fulfill both opinions? So the Gemara says, Umanu, who's the opinion of that? Mor bered Ravina. Hechi Avid. So he says, Siyem Dimina, put on your right shoe, Velo Katar, but don't tie it. Vesayem the smola, then put on your left shoe, Vekatar, then tie your left shoe, Ve'adar Katar Dimina, then tie your right shoe. Which means, do both. How could you do both? Mm-hmm. Right, left, by putting them on. Okay. Left, right, regarding the tying. So that's the way he compromised. You know, Shemaim, at least you could do both of them at the same time, which is the other opinion is saying, or. Either take Rabbi Yochanan or take the Braita. No. According to this opinion, they're telling you, there's an option to do both simultaneously. Now, Tosafot does say, V'siyem v'smala v'katar, by then put on your left shoe, then tie. Why did we give precedence when it comes to tying left right? Because you tie the tefillin on your left hand. So therefore, for tying is like tying the knot of the tefillin. So therefore he says, for putting them on, we're going to give you the right left. For the tying, since you want to go after the tefillin, we'll do the left right. Then Tosfot says, according to this, even on shoes that don't have laces, you still have to put them on right left, because the main inyan is what the tying is, the left right, but the putting on, we always want it to be right left. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Asher. Rav Asher said, and incidentally that is the halakha. Rabbi Hanan was not upset. Well, why was Rabbi Hanan upset? What's your question? He didn't hold like that. He held left.
He
didn't hold like Morbid Ravina.
This is a different opinion.
This is a different opinion. He himself held left right. And he always was a left right. So when he brought him his shoe right, what do you mean? Me a one shoe guy now? I have a guy that has a Makkah? So therefore he got nervous with him. But the Gemara is saying over here, there's a Yeresh Shamayim opinion that says what? You're able to do both. Right, left on the putting on, left, right on the tying. So it's like tefillin in the sense that you're tying on the left.
Tefillin is on the weaker arm. How does that apply to shoes?
No, you're tying on the left.
Yeah, forget about the tying.
It doesn't apply to shoes. No, we don't know the connection between tefillin and shoes. Okay. But all we know is that, you see, the Torah does give a precedence to, when it comes to tying, left. Yeah, it's a precedence of tefillin. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Rav Asher, Hazina l'Rav Kahana de'lo kapid. Okay, he says, I saw Rav Kahana, he wasn't makpid on this. Meaning he wasn't makpid, he wasn't careful, you know, what shoe to put on first, what shoe to put on second. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we have a braita. Kishihu no'el, when a person puts on his shoes, no'el shel yamin, barakach no'el shel simol. Good. Right, then left. Kishihu cholet, when you're taking off your shoes, you're supposed to take off your left shoe first, then your right shoe. What's the reason that she says? So that she says, "Cholet shel semol dezeu kivodo shel yamin," because that's respect to the yamin, to have it on longer. Which is, you keep the right shoe on longer, so therefore you take off the left first. Now, kishu rohetz, when you're bathing, rohet shel yamin, first you wash your right hand, v'arkach rohet shel simol, then you wash your left hand. Kishu sach, when you're anointing yourself with oil, sach shel yamin, first you anoint the right side, v'arkach shel simol, v'arotze lasuch kol gufo, but if you, let's say you're anointing your whole body, or taking a shower, sach roshot techeinah, then you do the head first. Why? Because the head is the king of all the limbs of the body. So therefore, when you're just doing hands, then you do right, left. But the whole body, the head always goes first. Comes the Gemara and continues. Velo betfilin. We learned in the Mishnah that said what? On Shabbat, it's forbidden for a person to go out with his tefillin. Amar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra taught, lo tema aliba deman de amar shabbat nazman tefilinu, which is you don't have to say that this is going according to the opinion that says you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbat, because that's obvious. According to that opinion, vaday you can't wear the tefillin on Shabbat, because it's not the time for tefillin. So he says, ela afilu leman de amar shabbat zman tefilinu, even according to the opinion that says Shabbat is the time for tefillin. It's a whole machlok in the Masechet Erubin if Shabbat is man tefillin or not. So the Hiddush of Rav Safra is even according to the opinion that says you can wear tefillin on Shabbat, but not in the public domain. Why? Lo yitzeh. Dilma atel etuye b'rishut rabim. Because we're worried he might come to carry. Now, why is he going to carry? So that she says, Dilma shakilu mereshe imba lefnot. If let's say he has to go to the bathroom. So if he has to go to the bathroom, he's going to take off his tefillin, and then he might end up carrying them. So that's the reason why it's going to be asur. Now, if you look at the Tosafot of it says Dilma Mifseku. He has a little different girsah here. Tosafot says they might break, they might snap. Yes, we have a little different opinions. She's mashma, might go to the bathroom, while the Tosafot's mashma, that it might rip the tefillin, they're going to fall off him. And if it falls off him, he might end up carrying it. I guess it out. Comes the Gemara and says, V'ika dematni la asefa. It's very possible that the strap snaps. When did it ever happen? In this case, they worried that it might happen. They didn't have strong tefillin like we have maybe today. They had a thin strap and it might break. Is it possible to happen? Mm-hmm. Anything's possible to happen. If it gives it up for Shabbat, then it goes in. Then it might snap. The ika dematni la asefa. Some learned Rav Safra's statement on the end of the Mishnah. Because the end of the Mishnah said, V'im yatsa eno hayav hatat. If you went out, let's say, with his tefillin on Shabbat, you're not hayav hatat. Amar Rav Safra. Lo tema alibad deman damar shabbat zman tefillinu, which means you don't have to say that you're not hayav hatat only according to the opinion that says shabbat zman tefillinu. Because if you say shabbat zman tefillinu, then why you're not hayav hatat? Because it's a gezerah, which is really shabbat is zman tefillin, so it's really not a burden if you're wearing it. Ela, what's the reason why you're not hayav hatat? Because drabbanan you might carry it. Ela afilu leman amar shabbat lav zman tefillinu. Even according to the opinion that says shabbat is not the time for tefillin, still it's only drabbanan. Why? Eno hayav hatat. Why? My ta'ama derech malbush avida. Because bottom line, you're wearing it. Since you're wearing it, you can't say it's hayav hatat, which is, you're right, the Zman of Tefillin is not on Shabbat, but you're wearing it, bottom line, which means I'm not carrying it in my hand. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a garment, so you want to say the garment is the Zman is not the bottom line. I'm wearing the garment like it's supposed to be worn. So therefore, you cannot say that you're going to be Hayav Hatat. The Gemara continues, Velo bekamiya bezman she'enu min ha-mumcheh, which means that the Mishnah taught us that we're not allowed to go out on Shabbat under the Shut Rabim with a kamiya if it's not min ha-mumcheh, if it's not proven from an expert. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, lo tema ad mumcha gabra u mumcha kamiya. Don't think that the only time you can go out with the kamiya on Shabbat is when it's mumcha gabra, where the writer of it, we'll call that writer a rofe, or the doctor, the way that she refers to him, that the doctor that writes it, or the hakam that writes it, is an expert, and that the kamiya also must be an expert. Don't think that both the doctor and the kamiya itself have to be proven. So long as the one that writes it is proven, even though the kamiya itself was not proven, it is permissible. So the Mishnah that's matir want to go out with the kamiya mumcha, it only means that you need mumcha gabra, that the writer is considered expert. The Gemara says, Daika Namea will prove this from the Lashon of the Mishnah. Diktani, because it says in the Mishnah, Velo bekamiya bezman she'enu min ha-mumcheh, that you cannot go out with the kamiya if it's not from an expert. Velo ketani bezman she'en ha-mumcheh, but it doesn't say when it is not mumcheh, it is not proven. Shema mina. So you learn from the fact that it says mina mumcheh, that all you need is that it comes from a writer that was mumcheh, even though the kamiya itself is not mumcheh. Now that's the
Gemara, but now we have to explain the terminologies. So that she over here says, what's the scenario where you'd have a kamiya that's considered mumhe gabra and mumhe kamiya? What's the scenario? So that she paints for us two scenarios. Scenario number one, he says, is, and I quote, "Cha'asa adam ze kamiya zu legimel anashim." Let's say a person wrote the same type of kamiya for three people. For example, the same kamiya will say AAA. And he gave it to three people. The Naasa Adam Zimumhe. So this guy is a mumhe because he cured three people. Sheripa Gimel Anashim. Vakamiya Mumhe. And the Kamiya also is proven. Sheripa Ktavze Gimel Anashim. Because this style, A, healed three people. And therefore, this Kamiya is considered mumhe. And the guy is also considered a mumhe because he cured three people. But he's only considered a mumhe for this one style Kamiya. Iname, or another understanding. Shekatav Adam Ze Gimel Mine Kimiyaim Shel Gimel Mine Cholaim Le Gimel Anashim. He wrote three different types of Kimiyaim. We'll call that ABC. That cured three different people from three different illnesses. So this guy over here now is considered a proven writer of kimiyim for any kamiya that he's going to write. Not only ABC, but DEF as well. And then she goes on to say, and if each one of these kimiyim of ABC were used three times to cure three people, so then already those kimiyim become proven. So that would be a case of itmahe gabra and itmahe kamiya. So the Gemara says you don't need such a kamiya to be on that level of itmahe gabra, itmahe kamiya to wear it out on Shabbat and Neshut Rabim. So long as you have itmahe kamiya, it's enough. What would a case of itmahe kamiya without itmahe gabra mean? Let's take the second scenario. He wrote ABC for three people. Now, the fellow right away becomes itmaha. He's considered a proven writer of kimiyim. He's considered an expert. Now, even if let's say ABC were used three times, so those three kimiyim are considered itmaha kamiya. But let's say the fourth kamiya that he writes, that fourth kamiya is not itmaha, is not proven. Yes, it's being written by itmahe gabra, by a gabra that was proven, but since the fourth style of kamiya wasn't used three times, that's not a case of itmahe kamiya. So the Gemara is telling us such a kamiya, meaning style D in our example, would be permissible to be worn on Shabbat. Why? Because it is written by a mumhe. Even though the kamiya itself did not work on three people, so does not have the advantage of mumhe kamiya, it is still enough. And that's the shita of the Gemara. Comes the Gemara for him and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezeu kamiya mumcha. What's considered a kamiya that's mumcha, that is already proven, called shiripa vishana vishilesh. So long as the kamiya worked three times. Once, twice, three times. And at this point, the Braita is mashma, that it worked three times on one person, which means the mumhe wrote, or the rofe wrote the same kamiya three times, AAA, and he used it on one guy, and it cured him three times. That's already considered mumhe kamiya. So comes the Gemara and says, Echad kamiya shel ktav, this applies to a kamiya, that an amulet that's written in writing, meaning there were two types of amulets. One amulet they would write with different names of, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different Kabbalistic names that would give a person a healing when he would wear it. Ve'achad kamiya shel akrin, or whether it's a kamiya made out of herbs, which means they would take a composition of different herbs that had different, let's say, spiritual healing powers, and they would put it in a pouch and they would wear it. So on Shabbat you're allowed to go out, whether it's with the written form of the kamiya or the herb form kamiya. And furthermore, whether a person has a life-threatening disease, he can wear the kamiya. Even if the disease that he has is not life-threatening, still permissible for him to wear the kamiya. Lo shenichfeh Ela shelo yichfe, which means, let's say a person comes from a family that suffers epilepsy, chas v'shalom,
That's called nechfeh. That's somebody that passes out from epilepsy. So not only somebody that has epilepsy can wear such a kamiyah, but in order to refrain somebody from getting epilepsy, meaning preventive medicine, it's still permissible. Which means, if a person, let's say, comes from a family that's susceptible to epilepsy, and he doesn't want to get it, he could wear a kamiyah on Shabbat to ward off shelo yichpeh. So he will not come and, let's say, faint. V'kosher u'matir afilu b'rishut rabim. And he's able to tie the kamiyah to his clothes and untie it on Shabbat, even in the public domain. So long as he doesn't tie it to his sher, would be, let's say, a bangle that he wears around his, or bracelet around his wrist, or tabah would be a ring. Why? The Gemara says, because people are going to misinterpret what this person is wearing. If they see it around his ring, they're going to understand that this person is wearing it as an adornment, as a takshit. And we know the kamiyah is not a takshit. The kamiyah is more a functional item that it cures people, but it's not a piece of jewelry. And therefore they're going to suspect him for carrying something that he's not allowed to carry. Therefore, don't place it on a piece of jewelry. Place it on your garment. So now the Gemara comes along and asks the question, Tanya, but didn't we learn in the Braita, Ezu kamiyah mumcheh, what's considered a proven kamiyah? Called Shripa Gimel Bnei Adam Kehad. So long as it cured three separate people, and the way we understand this Braita is that it's got to cure three separate people. We learned above that even if it cured the same guy three times, that's considered kamiyah mumcheh. Now you tell me, no, for a kamiyah to be considered proven, it's got to cure three separate people. So make up your mind. We have a stira in the Braita. So the Gemara answers, Nakasha, no question. Halin hoye gabra, halin hoye kamiyah. Which means, the second Braita that said you need to cure three people, that Braita was not discussing to prove the kamiyah, but that Braita was actually discussing how do you prove the writer of the kamiyah. So you want to prove the writer as an expert? So he has to write three different kamiyim to three different people. Now she says that the assumption is that three people will be suffering from three different ailments, and therefore he's going to write three different styles of kamiyim, meaning A, B, and C, and it's going to work on three different people. That already establishes the writer as an expert. Once he proves himself that he can cure three people from three different ailments, any kamiyah now that this guy writes has a din of mubheh. It's considered mubheh gabra. He only has to prove himself three times, three different ailments, to make himself accepted and an expert on every ailment. That she brings a nice proof to this concept, a similar concept that you see in Masechet Baba Kama, by the laws of oxes. The law of an ox is that if it gores up to three times, it's considered a short tam. And the payment by the master of the ox is called hatzinez. He has to pay half damages. Once he damages three or more times, so now already he's called a short mu'ad, which means now already he's trained, it seems, or it's his natural way to gore, and therefore the owner is more liable. He has to pay full damages. So the Gemara over there has an interesting question. Let's say he didn't gore, let's say, oxen three times. Let's say the case is this shor gored an ox, a hamor, a donkey, and a camel. It gored three different animals, but each one once. The Gemara says he is now considered a mu'ad for every animal in the world. Now if he goes and gores another animal, let's say, he gores a horse, you can't say, well, it's his first time by a horse. No. Since already he shows he's non-discriminatory, he went and gored three separate animals, he's considered a naghan, a mu'ad, for all animals. So that she borrows that concept in this Gemara. Once a writer of kimi'in writes three different styles of kimi'in, A, B, C, and it cures three people, so that already proves himself that he's considered a mumhayan expert, and any kamiyah that he's going to write will work. Aye. And when the Gemara said in the first Braita
that he wrote three kimi'im for one person, that's to establish a kamiyah to be a mumche, meaning he wrote style A three times, A, the same styled kamiyah for the same ailment, and it worked on one guy, it cured him three times, so that kamiyah now becomes an expert kamiyah. Let's read that inside, please. Rashi, veha. The second Rashi, there's ha. And the first Brayta that said that he used the kamiyah three times, mighty beholi ehad, the same sickness, vekatvo ze alahash, and he wrote this amulet, v'ripa gimul paramim, or the adam ehad. Now, or it could be to the same guy, or the shlosha, or for that matter, it could work on three people. Ut muhe kamiyah mighty, and it makes the kamiyah mumhe, the nasa kamiyah lebado mumhe al yedeh adam ze, through this guy. Now that she's going to tell us later on that even if somebody else would write such a kamiyah, it would also be considered usable. Because once already it's shown that this kamiyah worked three times, this style, so therefore anybody that writes it, it's going to work. Even though that she over here, at the end of this, that she says, only if three doctors wrote the same kamiyah do we say that any doctor can write the same style. But that she later on, as we'll see, seems retracted from that and says, so long as even one doctor showed that this style kamiyah worked three times to heal either one or three people, then already any doctor, even if he's not an expert, can write this style kamiyah. In any event, the Gemara now discusses a question. Gemara says like this, Amara Papa, Peshitali, it is simple to me, Tlat kimi'a le tlat kabre, tlatat, tlatat zimne, et mehe gamra, et mehe kimi'a. If the writer of the kimi'im, if he wrote three kimi'im, meaning A, B, C, three styles, for three different people, and it was used each one three times, so altogether is nine healings over here. So that's obvious. The writer is a mumhe because already he did A, B, C, and all those three kimi'im are mumhe because they all worked three times. So that's pashut. Next case, Gemara says, "Tlata kimi'e le tlata gabre had had zimna." If the fellow wrote three styles of kimi'im, A, B, C, and he wrote it for three people, but they only worked once on each person. So then the Gemara says, Gabra et mehe. Well, the writer becomes an expert in that any other kamiyah is going to write is acceptable, meaning D, E, F, etc., because he proved himself three times. Kimiyah lo et mehe. But these styles, kimiyah, since they only worked once, are not considered proven. Therefore, somebody else cannot write that version of the kamiyah, because it was not proven to work three times, but the fellow that wrote it can write not only these three, but even more kimiyim. Had kimiyah litlata gabre. Let's say the same kamiyah was written and was effective on three people. For example, A, the same kamiyah, the same style. Well, kimiyah it mehe. Well, obviously the kamiyah becomes mumhe, and therefore, whether this fellow writes or anybody else writes the same style, it's considered good. Gabra lo et mehe. But the writer is not considered a mumhe for other styles. For other styles, as she points out. But obviously for this style, he's considered mumhe because he did cure three people. So for other styles, B, C, etc., no. Now we get to the question. Ba'e rab papa. The papa questions, Tlata kemi'e lehad gavra mai. If let's say the fellow writes three different kimi'im, A, B, C, but it only cured one guy. What's the question? Kemi'a vadai lo itmehe. It's obvious that these kimi'im are not proven because they only worked once. So the sheila is, gavra itmehe or lo itmehe? Does that make the writer an expert or not? Why? So the Gemara says, "Mi amrinan, do we say ha'asele?" Bottom line, he healed him. So what do I care? Bottom line, he healed the guy three times. That should give the writer credibility and expertise. Or Dilma, maybe I'll say, "Mazala de'ai gabrahu deka mikabel katba." I'll say, no, since it's only the same guy he cured three times, maybe I'll give the credit not to the writer of the Kamiya, but to the one that's sick, and I'll say, he has a malach, as she writes, a good angel that allows him to be cured by Kimilin. And therefore, it does not prove the expertise of the writer. I could say the advantage is that the guy who's getting cured, he has a leaning towards receiving kimyaim, and therefore the Gemara says tiku. That question has to be wait. You have to wait until Eliyahu Nabi resolves it. So on this point, let's review the last case, because this is really the dilemma of the Gemara. He wrote ABC, three different styles of kimyaim for one guy. So the Gemara says, Safek, well, since it's only one guy, you can give the credit to the guy, to the patient, and say, yo, maybe this guy he's susceptible to receiving kimyaim. So that she has a question on this. We learned in the original Braita and Amud Rishon, if you remember, when we said, if the fellow writes three kimyaim for one guy, AAA for the same guy, we said that's a case of itmehe kamiya. Where the Kamiya, now that version A is Mumheh. And we didn't say over there that we give the credit to the patient and say maybe it was Mazal. Obviously, you see, we don't go with the Mazal of the patient. Because above we said for a Kamiya to become Mumheh, if you're the same Kamiya three times, and it cures the same patient, it's considered Kamiya Mumheh. Why did you tell me that it's got the Mazal of the guy? So Ela, you see, you don't go with Mazal. So why did the Gemara over here say, when you wrote ABC to the same guy, maybe it's the Mazal of the guy? So that she answers like this. There, the same Kamiya worked three times. Once a Kamiya works three times, I'm going to give the credit to the Kamiya. Here, it's three different Kamiyaim. Now already, I can't give the advantage to the Kamiya because it only really worked once. Now I'm going to have to give the credit either to the doctor that wrote it or to the patient that received it. Therefore, over here we can entertain, says Rashi, Mazala, the Mazal of the patient, whereas earlier we could not accept such a thing. That's the sugya of Kimyain. Again, we went according to the Shita of Rashi. I must point out that there are very important shitot over here in Tosafot, where he argues on these concepts, and even in Rashi himself, there's different stirot, as we did mention, and therefore, one should, of course, spend some more time in analyzing this sugya. But we gave it according to the shita of Rashi. Ibai Elihu, and the Gemara has a question. Kimi'in. These amulets, yesh behem mishum kedusha, or dilma em behem mishum kedusha? These amulets, are they considered kodesh, holy, or not holy? So the Gemara says, "Mai hilchita? What's the practical halakha that we have to know if they're holy or not?" Maybe you'll tell me, "Yeah, I have to know to save them from a fire." What do you mean? So the halakha says later on in the Gemara, God forbid somebody has a fire in their home on Shabbat, he's allowed to recover all kitvei kodesh. For example, Sefer Torah. He's allowed to take them out of his house, even into a courtyard that does not have an eruv. Even though technically it's considered carrying, it's okay to save Sefer Torah, it's permissible. So the question is, if you say a kamiya is considered kodesh, then God forbid on a fire on Shabbat, I'd be able to recover the kimiyim even into a hatser that does not have an eruv. So the Gemara says, well, that answer we know already. Tashema haberachot. If a person, let's say, has a text of different berachot, that she says, for example, the berachot that we say on the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah, that are not only berachot, but actually have pisukim, malchuyot, zikronot, shefarot, each section of the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah is filled with pisukim from the Tanakh. Vakimiyin, meaning amulets, afal pish yesh bem otiyot, even though they're letters of God's name, let's say, and a lot of subjects of, let's say, Torah, Sheba Torah, and Matsirin, Otam, Mipnei HaDeleka, you still don't save those items from a fire, V'nisrafim, B'mkoman, and you let them burn in their place. So what do you see over here? That question we know already, that a kamiya you don't save from the fire. So the question is again, what's the practical halakha, whether a kamiya is Kodesh or not? So the Gemara says, Eila Nyan Giniza. Yeah, we want to know that it's probably l'nyan geniza, meaning if they wear out, Do you have to store them in a, let's say, safekeeping? You know, when you discard them, do you have to put them in a special area and not, let's say, mistreat them and just throw them away? Ibn Hazm says, well, we know that answer as well. Tashema haya katuv al yadot hakelim. Let's say for some reason somebody wrote different names of God on the handles of vessels. He has a keli. The head keli has a vessel. Why would he do that? I'm not sure. Maybe there was a certain type of sigula to write it on the handle of a vessel. Balkareh hamita. Or he wrote it, let's say, on the bedpost. Different names. So what are you supposed to do with these items? Yagud, cut them off. We cut the handle off or cut the piece of the bedpost. V'ignezenu. And you must put it in Ginizah. So you see over here that names of God that are written, for example, like we just mentioned, must be placed in Ginizah. So the Gemara says, fine. Ela nikanes behem bebet hakiseh. The question is, can you go with the kamiya into the bathroom? My, yesh behem kiddushah v'asin. If you say this kiddushah, then it'll be forbidden to go into the bathroom. Or dilma em behem kiddushah v'share. Or we say, no, there's no kiddushah, it'll be permissible. So that's the she'ela. So the Gemara says, I can prove that as well. Tashema, we'll bring a proof. Ve'lo bekamiya bezman she'eno min ha-mumcheh. We said that a person cannot go out in Shabbat in the public domain with a non-proven kamiya. Ha min ha-mumcheh, implying that if it was a mumcheh, and we just learned above, meaning it's a mumcheh, gabra was written by a fellow that is a mumcheh, nafik, so he would be able to go out. So the Gemara says, V'i'amad kimya'in yesh b'mishum kedushah. And if you're going to tell me that kimya'im have kedushah, and therefore you cannot go into the bathroom with them, why don't I say that sometimes since the guy's going to have to go to the bathroom, and the bathrooms in the olden days were in the public domain, and he might come to carry the kamiya because he's going to take it off, because he's going to tell me he can't carry it in the bathroom, and he might forget, and he might come to carry it. From the fact that we didn't make that gezerah, comes and tells me what? That must be kimiim don't have kedusha, and therefore you're allowed to wear them in the bathroom. Again, because if you weren't allowed them, if you were not allowed to wear them in the bathroom, the rabbi should not have allowed you to wear it in the public domain. Why? Gezerah, that maybe you're going to go to the bathroom, take it off, because that's the law, and then forget and carry it in the four amos. The fact they didn't make that gezerah, they allowed you to wear it in the shul, that must be why that it's permissible to wear it in the bathroom. That's the Gemara's proof. The Gemara says, wait. I can tell you no, no proof. Our Mishnah was talking about not the written kimiyin of God's names, but it was talking about the herb kamiya. And therefore, really, I can tell you that what? You can't bring a kamiya into a bathroom, a regular written kamiya. Oh, the reason why they allowed you to wear a kamiya in the public domain? Because we were talking about the kamiya of different herbs. So you have no proof. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that? Tanya echad kamiya shel ketav v'echad kamiya shel ekrin. We learned earlier in the Braita that the Mishnah was referring to both kamiyim, whether the written kamiya or the kamiya of herbs. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about even the written kamiya of Shemot. And if it's referring to the written kamiya, still it allowed you to wear it in the public domain. Obviously, they weren't concerned about you coming into the bathroom because it's permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, wait, elach, I'm asking him, bechodesh yesh bo sakana. No, I'll tell you though, Amishtah is only talking about somebody that is fatally ill. Therefore, we allow him to wear the kamiya. But on somebody that's fatally ill, we're not going to make gezerot. But maybe on a regular guy that has a regular ailment, maybe he can't wear it in the public domain. Why? Because he might bring it into the bathroom and he might, he'll take it off before he goes into the bathroom, I'm sorry, and then he might come to carry it. So therefore, I'll tell you, maybe the Mishnah is only allowing Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana. So the Gemara says, no. What do you mean? We learned clearly in the Braita that our Mishnah was referring to all types of sick people, even people that are not fatally ill. And let's just finish the thought. And therefore, from the fact that they allowed you to wear it in the public domain, must be it's permissible to go into the bathroom with them. Because otherwise they would have forbade it, lest you take it off before you go in and then come to carry it. So the fact they allowed you to wear it, and they let even a person that doesn't have sakana, must be permissible. Gemara says, no. Ela, kevan de masse, I'll say no. Since the kamiya cures, afalgav de nakitle biyade name shapir dame. The Gemara wants to say at this point, maybe even if you carry the kamiya in your hand, it's okay. Which means, maybe there's no gizera on carrying a kamiya, even if you carry it in your hand, because bottom line, since he needs it, since it's functional, he needs it for his cure, maybe it'll be permissible to even carry it in his hands. And therefore, I could say like this, really a kamiyah, it's forbidden to bring in the bathroom. So why didn't the rabbis make a gezerah? Because what are you worried about? He'll take it, no, he'll take it off, and then what, go into the bathroom and then pick it up in his hand? It's allowed to pick it up in his hand. There's no problem. Kamiyah you can carry in your hand. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? That and yeah, didn't we learn in the Braita? Rabbi Hoshaya Omer Ubilvad Shlo Yohazenu Biyadov Yabinu Arbaam Odeshut Rabim. Rabbi Hoshaya clearly says that you can't carry the kamiyah in your hands. The only way you can wear the, you take the kamiyah out is if you attach it to your garment. But since the kamiyah is not considered an adornment or a jewelry, you cannot carry it in your. You can't, that's not the way you wear a kamiyah. So therefore, we're back to the question: can you bring it in the bathroom or not? So the Gemara says, "Elacha b'ma'askina b'mchupe'or." We're talking about where the kamiyah was covered in a leather pouch, and therefore, a regular kamiyah, I'll tell you, has kedusha, and a regular kamiyah you can't bring into the bathroom. But this kamiyah that we're talking on Shabbat that we allowed you to wear in the public domain was talking where it was covered. And therefore, you're allowed to go into the bathroom with such a kamiyah. Why? Because it's covered in a pouch. And again, it's following all the laws of how you're supposed to put it in a pouch. It has to be a certain size of the pouch, etc. But the point is, I can say that our Mishnah is allowing you to wear it in the Shuta Rabim and is not concerned about the bathroom that you'll take it off, because you don't have to take it off. Why? Because it's covered in a pouch of leather. So comes the Gemara and asks, what do you mean? Ba'are tefillin. What do you mean regarding the law of tefillin? Dimchupe'or, we know the scrolls of the tefillin are wrapped up in a leather box. The box of the tefillin is leather. Vetanya, we learned in the Braita Nichnas, the Beit HaKiseh, a person that enters a bathroom, choletz tefillin berachok arba amot, he must take his tefillin off not only in the bathroom, but even for amot outside the bathroom, v'nichnas. What do you mean? If leather pouch allows you to go in with scrolls, why doesn't that help me with the tefillin? So Gemara says, no, big difference. Hatam mishum sheen. There, because on the leather itself of the tefillin, you have the letter sheen on the outside of the box of the tefillin. And that letter sheen is from God's name. Which means, as we're going to learn, on the tefillin you have three letters of God. You have the sheen on the box of the shel rosh, you have a dalet on the knot on the back of the shel rosh, and you have a yud and made as a knot in the Shelyad, which spells Shin Dalid Yud. That's Shaddai, that's God's name. Therefore, the Shin is Kodesh. Therefore, a regular pouch that's covering a kamiyah will enable you to go with the kamiyah inside to the bathroom. But the leather of the tefillin is not permissible because the leather itself is Kedusha. Why? Because of the Shin. And again, when I said, Amar Abaye, Sheen shel tefillin, the sheen of the tefillin, halakha l'moshe m'sinai. That was actually a tradition that we had from Sinai, that you must make folds on the tefillin out of the leather itself and shape it in the shape of a letter sheen. V'amara b'yed dalet shel tefillin, halakha l'moshe m'sinai. The dalet on the back of the tefillin, when you make the straps, they form it in a right angle and they make a shape of a dalet. It's also a tradition from Sinai. V'amara b'yed also said yud shel tefillin, the yud that's formed on the shelyad, as well. And therefore, those are the three letters. Now, Tosafot does point out that there are, she taught that hold only the sheen on the tefillin is halakha Moshe Mishinai, while the dalet and the yud is not a halakha Moshe Mishinai, although it's our tradition to do it, but it does not emanate from a halakha Moshe Mishinai. So therefore, the Maaseh, the Gemara wants to say, you can't bring a kamiyah into the bathroom. Only if it had on it a leather pouch. Comes again and says, Velo b'srion, velo b'kastav, velo b'gafayim. The Mishnah did not allow a person to go out on Shabbat wearing armor. Why? Even though it's clothes, he's wearing it. What's the problem? So the Mefarshim explained, Gizera marit ayin, that the people might think he's going out to fight wars. Now, even though, let's say, you're allowed to fight certain wars on Shabbat, but they might suspect him to going to be fighting a war that's not permissible on Shabbat, since he's wearing the armor. So therefore, it is forbidden. So now the Gemara is just going to define to us terminologies, what these names are. So the Gemara says, Shiryon Zarda. Now Zarda, the way I understand it, that was the armor that they would wear around their torso, around their body. I think it was in made out of discs
like the discs of the Gemara compares it like the scales of a fish. It looked like scales, different round circles that they would wear in order, and they would overlap each other in order that the lances of the enemy would not be able to push through, penetrate. So that's called a siryon. Kasda amarav sanvarta. That she says sanvarta was the leather hat that they would wear underneath the metal helmet. Last but not least, magafayim amarav pazmake. Pazmake, as she says, anponiyot shel barzel b'milhama. Those were the boots that were made out of barzel, that were made out of iron. So all these three things would be forbidden to go out with on Shabbat, lest they give the impression to somebody else that they are going out to fight a war, which would be forbidden on Shabbat. Baruch Amen. Amen.